Hey guys, this is Dan. A little bit of a different opening because we talked a lot about the Maryland coaching situation with DJ Durkin and our thoughts on the Maryland board deciding to stick with Durkin. And we recorded this show on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, the governor and the man running against him for the Maryland governor's position both came out saying it was ridiculous that DJ Durkin was going to be staying, and then the University of Maryland reversed course and fired DJ Durkin. So we'll talk more about that on the next show, but just wanted to pop in at the beginning and let you all know that we're not stupid. we just recorded the show before the news broke. Check it out. It's going to be a good show, and take it away, Zach.
And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch Pump. It's co-host Dan Ford. How you doing, man?
Well, partner, I've been doing right fine these days.
I'm a rootin' tootin' sheriff, and I'm here to suck you off.
I wish that was in Red Dead.
Yeah, the ability to suck people off.
Yeah, he's sexless. He doesn't even. They won't even let you hire a lady of the evening.
He's an ascarlet. He's an asexual male. It's representation.
Pining after a Stacy or whatever it is those people say.
No, he had a girl he liked, but she chose high society over him or something.
Yeah, she chose a Chad. He's not enough of a Chad. I watched the SVU on.
Was that a new SVU?
All those people. There was. They did do an SVU on
incels.
Incels? Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Watching Ice-T try to explain incel culture was like watching a meme come to life.
That's my favorite thing about SVU is like Ice-T's the guy who explains how like anything works. Because he's probably the only one on the show who knows how, like, anything in the real world, or the online world works.
Yeah.
Hashtag gamer things.
Hashtag gamer things, exactly.
Do you
subscribe to the Ice-T is Drill?
Yes. Did he say he would look into that?
Yeah, he said, I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. Ice-T rules. Because here's a guy.
Everybody on SVU rules. Like that. Everybody involved with that show rules.
Yeah.
I do wish Law and Order OG still existed.
Speaking of Law and Order,
like that, I don't like that we don't get any more like. What's Sam Waterston even doing?
He died in the newsroom. It's the second week in a row we've talked about the newsroom.
I did not know Sam Waterston had died on television, which is the same as dying in real life.
Yes, same to me. It is. Because I have dementia and I'm 87 years old.
There was a great show when Newsline happened that I thought, man, if Newsroom is good, it'll be like this show. It was not good, so it was not like this show. But there was a great Australian show in the 90s called Frontline, which made fun of, I don't know if those shows still exist, like those news magazines things.
Like, yeah, Dateline's like, still going, isn't it?
No, not Dateline. Like the ones that used to come on at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, like
oh,
Hardline or
no. Now it's just Access Hollywood.
Do 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 do, and it would be like a weird mixture of like news, and then like these immigrants are coming.
Yeah,
to,
like Hard Copy.
Rape your sister.
The Bill O'Reilly Show.
Hard Copy. Yeah. That's the one I was thinking of.
I don't watch a ton of network TV in the afternoon, obviously. But, like, what I see, it's usually at work because the TV got left on, like, ABC over the weekend or something. It's all, like, Judge Judy and then, like, Divorce Court and then, like, Steve Harvey. That could just be an Atlanta thing.
It's definitely an Atlanta
thing.
That
seems like shows, like, black people would love. It's like,
especially
like Divorce Court. People.
Divorce Court's real big with black folks.
Yeah, like, I'd like old black ladies, I imagine. Like, if you're an old black lady, send us a letter.
Black people love Judge Judy.
Let
too.
Us know.
But everybody loves Judge Judy.
Let us know the thoughts you have on Judge Judy. And Judge Judy
is the most universally beloved thing on television.
Rockin' bod for like an 80-year-old.
She's 80? She's not 80.
She's like 70 or something.
Isn't it crazy how she's had like these two like completely different careers? Because on up into her 50s, she was a family court judge.
Yeah.
So, like, she was the one who decided whether you got to keep the custody of your kid or not. Or
She separated multiple dads from their sons.
Exactly. And her big thing of pride, which I'm not sure this is a thing to actually be proud of, is that she processed more cases than any other judge in New York state history.
Man, I thought you were an analytics guy. That's efficiency.
I mean, it seems like she might have made some bad calls sometimes.
Maybe. Maybe Judge Judy for Supreme Court.
Look.
Why, Dan, I mean, it's either going to be Supreme Court made up of, like, TV judges? So, like...
It's either going to be her or some guy who doesn't even have a law degree.
Or
who
says, yeah,
we can get rid of the 14th Amendment.
No, Judge Judy, bring back Wapner.
I'm almost positive he is dead.
Is that... I hear a little Red Dead Redemption in the background there, Dan?
No, you do not.
Just a little free plug. I don't know if you've heard of this game, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Indie game.
And thanks for the people at Rockstar for sending us nothing. It's a free plug.
Yeah. They actually made us work for like 20 hours just to make sure.
You know what? Worth it. Playing poker all day. So, But then we got a kind of a packed show for college football. We got three main stories. You want to kick off with Maryland?
So yeah, I think Maryland's the most pressing one. Maryland announced,
I think the bigger one's Urban Meyer.
I think the Maryland one's the bigger one when it comes to like, oh my God, you're not
really
doing
like,
that right.
Like the intellectual's choice, the choice of the intelligentsia.
The intelligentsia, I believe, is the word you were looking for.
The intelligentsia is,
I almost think the way this news got out that it's somebody trying to kill it. But news leaked today that DJ Durkin is going to be back as Maryland head coach
and
this weekend against Michigan State.
First thing,
but it wasn't announced officially. You know, it was not put out in a press release, which made me think that maybe the school president there, who was against bringing back DJ Durkin, may have just let that leak to the press to let the people at Maryland. The board of trustees has basically decided that DJ Durkin is going to be back as head coach, and they don't give a damn what anybody thinks.
Yeah.
Wallace Lowe, who is the president of Maryland, reportedly went in front of the board and told them he wanted that they should fire DJ Durkin, that if they don't, it's going to cause massive upheaval on campus. There's going to be massive student protests. Yeah. It's going to be a big issue. The board ignored him and told him that if he tried to fire him, they would fire him first. So what's now tentatively planned is that the athletic director is going to be reinstated, DJ Durkin is going to be reinstated, and the school president is going to be retiring in June.
Yeah. But I think the big news from that, half the team walked out of the meeting, right? Alleged.
Yeah, they had the meeting today that was DJ Durkin coming back and announcing to the team that he was going to be back, half the team apparently.
So they may not even have that team. It could be a Missouri situation here.
Which again, gets back to the biggest, like, this is the biggest reason why the SEC is a better run conference than the Big Ten.
Yeah. Mind you, Dan, let me say, we can get into the second, but the Big Ten may be the worst run conference. In terms of scandals, my lord.
And just in so far as like the people who run those schools having any idea what the hell is going on outside of their little bubbles.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you this, there's not a single SEC school that would go to the match for DJ Durkin.
No.
Every single SEC school, if they had DJ Durkin and they had the on-field results that DJ Durkin had had, would look at this and go, thank God we have a reason to void his contract. Yeehaw!
Yeah.
And they would cut his ass as soon as they could. They would void his contract.
Dan, I'm sorry.
They'd be calling
Dan, we have breaking news.
Oh, God.
Kyle Korver has scored his 11,000th career point.
Thought he was retired.
Nope. Well, there's a white basketball player news. We will always break news on the show about white basketball players. Sorry, Dan. Please continue.
Yes. So, it's just what's crazy to me is if you're going to bring back DJ Durkin, because here's the reality. Let's say you believe that ESPN's fake news, and everything in the ESPN reports about the treatment of players is bullcrap, and even Maryland's own commission report, which found a situation where players did not feel they could come forward with complaints because they would be punished for them. But even if you believe all that was true, and that, or that all of that's made up, that it's all just fake news, and DJ Durkin's being railroaded. Even if you believe all that, it doesn't matter if it's true or not at this point. He's screwed. There's not a player in America that is going to come play at Maryland for that guy. You're not going to get a single high school, highly recruited player who's going to, I mean, one, getting them to come to Maryland's tough enough. But now you've got this guy who's got this horrible reputation now. You're not going to get any of those kids now. Your recruiting is going to be awful. Maryland is going to be a team that's going to be struggling to recruit in the low 80s now. So you might as well just cut bait. It doesn't matter if it was true or not at this point. So what Maryland's going to do is, instead of just living in reality, which is that DJ Durkin is an untenable head coach at this point, they're going to just go back with him because a bunch of boosters like him. And this is what's going to happen. One of two things is going to happen. They'll fire him after next season because they're going to be terrible this year. Then when the recruit, when the signing day hits, they're going to have a terrible recruiting class, and then they're going to start off 0-5 next year, and then they're going to fire him, and they're going to have to pay him his full paycheck, his full buyout, because they didn't take a chance to fire him with cause. They're going to be firing him without cause. Or the team is just going to revolt and not show up. And you're going to have massive transfers, and nobody worth a damn is going to be on your
team. No, because regardless of if you feel Durkin was innocent, whatever, that's fine. The truth, the perception is he's not. And perception in real life, especially in college football, is reality. The perception is, I'm not going to go send my son to play for that guy because he'll fucking kill him.
Look at Bobby Petrino.
Yeah.
Bobby Petrino has accomplished 100 times more than DJ Durkin has as a head coach. He can't recruit. Because of his reputation.
Yeah.
He cannot recruit any kids.
We were talking pre-show, like, if this happened in the SEC, who would probably not get fired? And the guy we could agree on 100% is Saban. But Saban would never kill a guy. Because he knows that would hurt recruiting. Which is all Nick Saban.
Exactly.
Is recruit. Like, that dude learned how to dance so he could recruit. He endorsed a Democrat in Alabama, like, so he could
in West Virginia. In West,
but still, he lives in Alabama. So he could recruit. This is all this guy cares about. Saban would never kill a player, right? Because he knows it
would recruit. It would be a distraction.
Yeah.
It would be a distraction from the preparation that week.
Saban would bring you back to life so you didn't distract from preparation. He would pull a Jesus with Nazareth. Or who was the guy Jesus brought back from the dead? Nazareth?
It was Lazarus.
Lazarus. Jesus of Nazareth is his official name.
Yeah, Jesus of Nazareth, and then Lazarus. Yeah. His cousin.
His boy.
Which is one of the biggest cases of nepotism in the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, think about all these dead people, and that's the one he brings back?
His cousin? Come on, Jesus. Pull it together. So yeah, man, I think Maryland football, big trouble, right? Like, because A, the brand's not really good enough at Maryland to survive a scandal like this. B, Durkin's not that good of a coach, so I especially do not get that. I understand the underlying things. There's a lot of politics and emotions and all that kind of fun stuff involved.
Yeah, I think the one of the bigger issues is that it's Wallace Lowe, who's the president, who was very adamant as soon as he started hearing what was going on with the football team that this couldn't be tolerated. And Wallace Lowe is not well liked by a lot of the boosters, because Wallace Lowe made the decision unilaterally
to move
Maryland to the Big Ten.
And what I understand, Dan, like, Wallace Lowe treats Maryland football like it should be treated. Like, you shouldn't lose money for the school, and you probably shouldn't be killing guys.
You know? Yeah, Wallace Lowe is just some academic who looked at Maryland Athletics' budget and went, oh my God, we're hundreds of million dollars in the red. I've got to do something to get us out from the red. And then the Big Ten was like, well, we'll give you $50 million a year. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
And he didn't really care if that ruined the Virginia series. He just looked at the athletic budget and went, well, this is a disaster.
Yeah.
I've got to fix
this. Which tells me, you know, like, how not big of a deal Maryland football must really be outside of the.
It's literally just it's like 10 rich dudes.
Yeah.
Are the only people who care about Maryland football. Because I've been to games at Maryland football. We drove up there in college. We would drive up to Maryland just to be like, hey, let's go to a football game somewhere else. And they're in conference. We'll go see what they're like. And it's like, you could get into the game, like, game day for like $10. Because it's just like, yeah, well, we got a lot of seats. You want them?
And like, if I'm Maryland, Maryland should be a basketball school.
It is! It absolutely is a basketball school! Which is also something they ruined.
And this is, this is,
you just reminded me of what the craziest thing about Maryland. The Maryland boosters didn't like having to drive all the way into campus to go to games. Maryland's old basketball arena was Cole Field House, which was on campus. It was a little, it had some age.
But it was
on
like Cole Field House was the legendary, like not legendary.
It was the loudest, it was the loudest court in the ACC.
Yeah.
They moved to the Washington Wizards court because it was closer to where a lot of the alumni wanted to, like a lot of where they lived. It was more convenient for them. And Maryland hasn't had a home court advantage since.
Yeah.
Because it's just this college, big, sterile NBA court, and they barely sell it.
Unless you're...
They'll maybe sell it out.
Unless your college team is just, like, a smaller level. And like, if you're, a power conference college team, you shouldn't share a Coliseum or an arena with an NBA team. Because guess what? Those arenas are bigger, and you're never, ever going to sell that out consistently.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the like same Duke, thing that killed...
If Duke moved and said, we're going to play our games in Charlotte. I don't know how close Duke is. Let's pretend like Duke and Charlotte are
That's
close.
Like 3 hours.
Okay, let's pretend like they're closer. They would never sell out that arena for like consistently, like they do with their, whatever you call it, Camden.
Camden
Yards. Duke's.
NC State used to have the loudest court in the ACC, and it was an on-campus arena, and it was old, and it didn't have air conditioning, but they could have put air conditioning in.
Yeah.
Instead, they moved out to what is now, like, they helped fund the arena that was for the hockey team, which is out by I-95. And so guess who never goes to any NC State basketball games anymore?
Yeah.
Students. Because on a Thursday night, how are you going to get, 10 miles away from the university when you don't have a car? You're a college kid.
Which ruins the whole...
The answer is you don't.
Yeah, which, to me, and this is, like, where, like, adults just need to grow up sometimes. The whole fucking, the reason you had fun at those games.
It's because you were a college kid and they were on campus.
And they were there, and like your friends who maybe didn't care about basketball, was like, okay, I'll go. You know, like the college down at Georgia College, right? D2 basketball, but like people went because it was on campus. You could walk over there. It was like $2 or free or whatever to get in. You know, and that's fun. But I don't want to go back. I wouldn't be like, well, they got to move the team to the Macon Coliseum so I can get there easier. Like, no. It's just stupid to me. I don't know, Dan. It's hard for me to even formulate a good argument because of how dumb.
It's just like something that's going on with college athletics all over the country is that like these small groups of extremely wealthy boosters are reorienting their school in the direction they want it to go, even though it makes no sense and it will actively destroy the ability of that school.
Yeah, well, like, you know where you don't fans. You know where you don't really see that stuff a lot though. They'll say. Like the ACC, SEC, right?
Less so, yeah.
Maryland
people did complain that the ACC adding all these schools is what made it easier for them to move to the Big Ten. Because like, well, I mean, we might as well be in the Big Ten. We've got Boston College in our league, which
that's right up the interstate.
Yeah, Maryland. That shit was good for Maryland because it meant that they had more schools closer to them, but. You know, Maryland people are full of shit most of the time.
You know, and it pains me to say that because one of my favorite regulars at my bar, Dan, is a former Maryland football player. Really cool guy. Very progressive. But sounds like they're losing.
Boomer Esiason.
Yes.
Is always coming to your bar.
He did tell me a funny story, though. Like, he took his family up to New York, and it was when Pittsburgh was playing in the Pinstripe Bowl. And his, like, little kids saw, like, the Pittsburgh players, and they were like, oh, my dad played for Maryland. And the players straight up just go, well, we beat the fuck out of Maryland. And just walked off. It's the funniest thing. And, like, he wasn't even mad when he told that story. Like, he thought it was hilarious. I guess apparently Pittsburgh does not like Maryland. I did not know this.
Well, it is a close game. I mean, it's...
Was that for a trophy?
It's one... At Maryland and Pitt... Maryland, before the ACC got bigger, used to always play Pitt and Penn State.
Yeah.
But that would be weird if, like, Pitt people in, like, 2008 were still talking about Pitt, because by that point they weren't playing.
Dan, let's jump to, I think, maybe the biggest story. And that's Urban Meyer's sick again.
Yeah, he's got brain cysts.
Which, is that even a thing?
An arachnoid brain cyst.
Which, it is always convenient that Urban Meyer gets sick, but, like, I do wonder if, like, maybe he's just a very unhealthy man. Like, maybe he is just, like, very unhealthy.
Like, he's just sort of, he's what they used to, on the message boards, call Aspie.
Yeah. What? He's a sickly boy. But, like, what does this mean for Ohio State?
He's let his hair get way too long for some reason.
But what does this mean for Ohio State? Because it sounds like Urban's sticking around for now.
No, I don't think he's sticking around.
I think he's gone.
Because this is all the same shit he said when he was about out the door for Florida. Where it was like, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here for a while. And then it's like, nope, he was actually about to, like, he was already planning to leave.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be there very long. I think that's all this is like laying the groundwork for why it's going to be okay for him to leave another program high and dry. And then he'll wait for the Notre Dame job to open up, and then he'll go to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And then this whole cycle will repeat itself.
Like, is this
absolutely he will. Like, if Notre Dame comes open, if Brian Kelly leaves to go to the NFL and they need another coach, you think they're going to turn down Lou Holtz Jr.? The last Lou Holtz is the last guy to win a national championship there. They're not turning down Lou Holtz Jr.
I don't think Brian Kelly's leaving.
He is. He's leaving.
You think?
I think some NFL team is going to hire him.
Hmm.
Because I think right now,
who is the last college coach to get hired by an NFL team?
But it's going to happen because college offenses are taking over in the NFL right now. So, like, one of those, like, college, Lincoln Riley's probably going to get hired by somebody, and then that'll kick off another round hire a college guy.
That raises an interesting, if you're Cleveland, would you talk to Lincoln Riley?
He's the guy I would offer.
I don't think he would leave. I wouldn't leave Oklahoma to go to Cleveland.
I would also be calling Bob Stoops and see it, like, he retired very young from college and say, look, you know, how much would it take
for you to come to the NFL? The Stoops thing was a family thing. Like, he's just like, I want to see my teens grow up.
His thing was that his dad died at a young age.
Yeah.
As a high school coach. And I think he didn't want to end up like his dad.
Yeah.
But if you offer somebody, it's one thing to walk away from a great college job, but it's another thing to say, hey, here's something you never thought you'd get to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's a different.
Well, I wonder if it'll end up.
That's a different thing to turn down.
I wonder if it'll be like Cowher's a little bit older, but like Cowher famously retired so he could watch his kids play sports, right? And then he never came back. I wonder if it's similar with Stoops. Like maybe Stoops gets a job at ESPN. Or is he at ESPN?
I don't think he does anything.
Let's say he gets a job at Fox,
sitting around cashing money.
Yeah. Let's say he gets a job at Fox. He's just like, whatever. I just want something to do on Saturday. I could see Stoops just saying, "Fuck it." I won a national championship. I'm a Hall of Fame coach.
Being an NFL coach is easier than being a college coach,
though. Oh, much easier.
Because you get the whole offseason.
But, like, if you're getting paid high six to seven figures to, like, just talk on ESPN and you only work really 2 days a week, why wouldn't you take that?
Well, I mean, coaches are competitive by nature.
Yeah. We'll see.
I would just offer him and see if he took it.
Yeah.
I would talk.
If I'm Cleveland, if I'm Stoops, I'm not going to Cleveland. Sorry.
If you get a chance to coach Baker Mayfield, see, the thing that Cleveland's got now that they didn't have before is they've got a quarterback that would be intriguing to a lot of coaches.
Yeah. And who looks a chance good. To coach that look good in a pretty bad offense, which is.
Yeah, man, is Hugh Jackson going to get another job?
He's got to be done.
Because that guy is like the.
Well, you know what?
He is the utmost example of, like, somebody who's worked, like, if you've ever worked in a job where somebody is more obsessed with being in charge of stuff than actually doing anything.
Yeah.
So it's always like, well, I'm in charge, I'm the manager of this. You can't tell me what to do. And they're so busy, like, making sure they get to be in charge that nothing actually ever gets done.
Yeah. But then let's look ahead to the future of Ohio State. Does this mean there's probably some sanctions coming?
No, I doubt that. What would they do that would get him sanctioned? I think it's just he's worn out his welcome. He's Lou Holtz.
Well, who does Ohio State?
He is Lou.
Who does Ohio State bring in?
well, Ryan Day will get looked at because they did play better when he was interim coach than now that, you know, there's definitely been a sign that once Urban came back, they lost something.
Yeah.
It's, and then, you know, there's people, there's inside people over there that have said, look, part of the issue is that Urban came in and didn't like that the offense was so pass happy and wanted them to start running the ball, and the stuff that he believes in doesn't work with this quarterback.
Yeah.
Because Urban Meyer is still a triple option guy at heart, and they have a quarterback who is basically, you know, Dan Marino.
But Ohio State will probably go, they like to go in house. So, like, I think Day is probably like.
There's other people who say that hiring Greg Schiano, and the other biggest thing is that the best man at Urban Meyer's wedding, they hired him as linebacker's coach when nobody else would have even given that guy a quality control job, but because he was the best man at Urban Meyer's wedding, they gave him the linebacker's job. You know, there's a lot of people around Penn State, and it goes back to the thing with the wide receivers coach, which was the big talk of the offseason. It's like Urban Meyer giving jobs to completely incompetent people.
Yeah.
Because they're close to him. And he did the same thing with Steve Adazio, where he gave Adazio the offensive coordinator job after Dan Mullen took the Mississippi State job. And it was just very, very clear Steve Adazio is not an offensive coordinator, because if you ask Steve Adazio what play we should run, his answer is we're just going to run the dive up the middle. You ask him, hey, what play do you want to call? He just says inside zone. Inside zone. Inside zone. Inside. Like, you could ask him five times in a row, and he's just going to say inside zone.
So, but the... Is Day who you're putting your money on?
Day, I would put money on. I would not count out Bo Pelini.
Is he from Ohio?
He is from Ohio.
They're going to hire
him at Youngstown.
The number one thing here, unless someone falls in their laps, it's going to be a guy from Ohio.
It's Bo Pelini is coaching at Youngstown State. He was hired at Youngstown State by former Ohio State head coach Jim Tressel, who's the principal, who's the president of that university.
He's the principal. I don't care what he's the principal. You wear a sweater vest to work every day.
He's the principal.
You're a principal.
Yep. So, like, I would not rule out Bo Pelini, even though things didn't go so great at Nebraska. They didn't exactly go bad. And he's going to have that Jim Tressel inside track. After that, it gets a little dicier. The Cincinnati coach, he was the interim coach after Tressel got fired. His name just fell out of my head.
I have no idea.
He's gonna get a look at as the new Cincinnati. I mean, he's done okay at Cincinnati. Like, this is the best year they've had win-loss wise. He has out-recruited everybody at his level.
What about
so they're
this
gonna be good.
What about a little off the wall here? What about LeBron James? What about Ty Lue?
Look, well, he needs something to be doing these days.
Yeah. What?
Luke Fickle.
Here's another off the wall. What about Hugh Jackson? What if he just falls into it on stage?
He just goes, look, you know, here I am. I'm ready.
What about
and
Jerry
then he
Sandusky?
Just starts immediately trying to become the athletic director.
What about Sandusky, who just calls like coaches from prison?
I mean, I get the feeling that there are boosters at Penn State who would like to replace James Franklin with Jerry Sandusky.
Dude, who's like the conservative writer?
John
like,
Ziegler. John Ziegler.
He's a Penn State.
I knew who you were talking about immediately.
That rules. Anybody, like somebody said, we need to get a Penn State truther on the show.
I believe the day that, when did he just, like, shove Jerry Sandusky back into the news for some reason?
Oh, it was during college, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like, here's another man that the liberal media crucify who didn't do anything wrong. And he just posted a picture of Jerry Sandusky and...
The liberal, I love that when, like, the one thing that really does bring this country together is, like, if you, like, molest children, both sides hate you. Like, Kevin Spacey, no one defended that fucker, you know? Sandusky, Larry Nassar, like, anybody affiliated with the Big Ten.
Yeah, literally all of these Big Ten people who are constantly raping.
Like Kevin Spacey, known Big Ten guy.
Yeah. Look, American Beauty is a very Big Ten game. We all
know. Oh, wow. You know, in retrospect, wow. makes that movie even better.
Yes. Well, the only difference is that, you know, it was a girl with rosebuds all over her
body. Well, the like dad thought he was fucking the son, though, remember?
I've never seen that
movie. That's a good movie. Well, it wasn't...
Well...
It was post-9/11.
I say that.
We were at war. We didn't die. We were at war and just wanted to fuck our daughters, you know? Just normal stuff.
That movie, well, little did they know that that would be the future genre that all porn movies were.
Yes. Incest. They're ahead of their time. Yeah. But he wants to fuck his daughter's friend, not his daughter. I'd recommend, Dan, maybe watch that on Halloween.
It's a good scary movie.
A little spooky film. We're recording this on Halloween.
I will only watch spooky
before
movies.
We get
I will
in.
Only watch spooky movies
before we get in the playoff rankings.
Oh
then
my
we're gonna
fucking
do picks.
God! I just realized tomorrow is.
Yeah. What are you gonna watch a spooky movie tonight or tomorrow?
No, I'm gonna work. And
well,
I'm gonna
I'm
have to
work.
Wade through like all this traffic of like shithead kids.
Listen, going let door the kids to door. Have fun.
I don't want them to have any.
Think
fun.
Of the children. I've
no
got to
fun.
Work tomorrow as well, but I think I'm gonna watch. Night Trap, the movie.
Isn't that a video game?
Yeah, but someone took all the scenes and made it into like a 45-minute movie.
Huh.
Spooky.
It is very spooky. It's
spooky. I'll probably also watch the ECW Monster Mash Battle Royal. But literally my favorite thing in the history of wrestling. Because it was like, let's just get a bunch of giant men and put them in a match together.
Oh, is that the fake ECW?
Yeah, like they had, it was like Big Daddy V, Kane, Big Show, like multiple other, Mark Henry, another fat guy. Like, I want that. If it's just like six fat guys fighting, that's what I want to see. More than anything. I like, Dan, if I could bring back one person back to life, Yokozuna.
Well, WWE already did it the last time they went to Saudi Arabia. So
there you go. They're coming back, baby. So, but a woman's going to be commentating. So, progress.
Progress.
Yeah. Checkmate, Libs.
If she doesn't get gang raped.
You know what
looking
turned
a man
me,
in
though,
the eye.
You know what kind of turned me a little more pro WWE on this was just the involvement of John Oliver. Because I'm at the point, like, whatever that guy's for, I just turned to be against.
He is, like, the king of, like, pointless protests that will not work.
Yeah.
Where were these protests
when they went to Australia?
I will never...
Nowhere.
I will never give him... I will never be able to give him any respect after make Trump drunk.
Drunk. We got him.
I will never be able to look him in the eye. Like, I'm always going to have this embarrassed, like...
Is he going to ruin look. The live-action Lion King for you?
Is he in it?
He's Zazu.
I'm not going to watch it because I'm not 12... I'm not... 5 years old.
Okay,
so.
Well, you're a millennial, and we all love nostalgia. So, you're not going to go see the Aladdin live action?
Again, 5 years old.
Will Smith is the genie.
And I don't have any kids. If I had kids, sure.
I saw Christopher Robin by myself. Nothing weird about that. Just watching Christopher Robin jerking off in the theater. Normal guy.
Just a normal guy.
Normal guy. Drunk. I got really drunk and went to go see a Disney movie. Just like a normal, well-adjusted human being.
Now you're sounding like you're an Eddie Pepitone
fan. Dan, let's talk. Well, we're inching closer to talking some on the field stuff. Let's talk about this. The playoff rankings are out. You want to talk about just the top six? That's kind of all who matters right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's do. Let's go through that.
Number one, shockingly, Alabama. Any thoughts?
Bias, SEC bias.
They
ain't play nobody, Paul.
Number two, Clemson.
Bruh, Southern bias.
Number three, LSU.
Bruh, Southern bias.
Four, Notre Dame.
Bruh, independent Notre Dame bias.
Catholic bias. The Pope controls the media.
The papists have infiltrated.
Five.
Let's just get into some like serious 1600s England conspiracies.
Five though. Five and six are the big ones to me. I think because like Alabama or LSU, one of them will probably have to lose on Saturday. Right.
Are we gonna? The one thing is that we're all pretending that LSU has any chance against.
I like that though.
We got to get
ourselves. We're all pretending that like Alabama's not going to beat Alabama's not going to beat LSU by like 30.
Yeah. I do wonder though if Alabama's going to like. I'm more interested to see how Tua plays than if LSU can win. I think Alabama wins because like they just take advantage of LSU being dumb. But I wonder if Tua's going to. This is the best secondary he's played all year, so I'm interested. Interested in that. But Dan, number five, your boys, Michigan.
I mean, yeah.
Media bias.
Sure, I mean, if I had my way through this, I would go. Oh, let's finish out. Let's go six first.
Yeah, and number six, Georgia.
Georgia.
Now Alabama's gonna beat. Alabama plays two of these teams, so more than likely.
Yeah. So this will more or less work its way out. Yeah. But if we were going on just where they stand right now, I would go Alabama number one, Clemson number two, Notre Dame number three, Michigan number four. Yeah. I would have LSU at five. I wouldn't have them as third.
No. I would put best team. I know Georgia lost. I would probably still put Georgia over LSU.
LSU just screams pretenders.
Yeah. And I will say that I was kind of impressed with Georgia this week against Florida. They ran into adversity. That was it didn't bother them.
That was a game where you just couldn't, like, you looked up and it felt like a close game until you realized that Georgia was up by two touchdowns.
Yeah. And Florida just isn't good enough yet on offense to take advantage of mistakes.
Yeah.
And that was the, movement. Florida's going to be good. Like, trust me.
Yeah, I believe in what Dan Mullen's doing.
Like this team, and I think this team's going to finish pretty strong because the schedule gets way easier now because they don't play nobody else.
Yeah, and Florida State completely collapsed.
Florida State sucks. And they probably play like what? Like Florida A&M Tech or something. So.
I assume they'll play an FCS team.
So what bowl does that put Florida in? Are they like Cotton Bowl bound?
I would assume they always end up in like the Capital One Bowl.
Yeah, well, this is gonna be like they'll be like the third best team in the SEC, more like record wise.
Yeah,
them or Kentucky, but I'll bet.
Usually, the Cotton Bowl wants whoever the second best team in the SEC West.
Yes, yeah. Well,
because it's a better be so they'll probably get LSU.
I think the Cotton Bowl would take Georgia. They travel well.
Yeah, the problem with when you end up at the Cotton Bowl. Or, you know, one of the bowls that's not in the playoffs is that you might have a fan base that does travel well normally, but they're not probably going to travel to that.
Yeah. I could see.
So, like, I think LSU would be more attractive because you've got more, you know, because of Katrina, you've got more Louisiana
yeah, but I think
cultural
the Cotton
people
Bowl
in Texas.
I will say the Cotton Bowl, it's a big enough brand to sell. And I think, like, a lot of, like, Georgia fans or whatever respect tradition, kind of. I think that's something like, oh, that's pretty cool.
When's the last time Georgia played at Jerry World? Because that's also got something to do with it.
I don't think ever.
They haven't played like a, you know, a week one game there?
No, because they're always going to play in Atlanta. Why would Georgia ever go to Dallas?
Well, to open up new recruiting areas.
Well, I think they just need to get Atlanta better. I think they're fine if they can recruit Atlanta. So I don't know why you would ever. They may have played a game in Dallas, but I don't think so. Could have been a random bowl game or something, but I don't know well enough. But more importantly, Dan, that puts in the Belk Bowl driver's seat Auburn. But it looks like your boys at NC State aren't going to make the Belk Bowl.
They might. Hey, don't count out the chickens before they hatch.
Yeah. As for playoff rankings, I agree with you, Dan. I really hope Notre Dame loses so I can put Michigan at three. Because I want Michigan-Clemson round one. I think Alabama kills Michigan. Like,
yeah, Notre Dame's going to kill whoever they play round one.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be killed. Yeah. And I'd rather...
Or just be
Alabama
easier if Notre Dame just dropped one game and then we got to move Michigan above them.
Yeah. Well, if Notre Dame loses, though, do they drop out of the playoffs? Notre Dame loses to Syracuse. Are they a playoff team?
I think it would depend on who's the fifth team looking in.
Well, what was the closest? Let me look back at this. I'm not even sure who the closest. Oklahoma is the closest Big 12.
I think Oklahoma would get in over a one-loss Notre Dame.
Or is like a one-loss, the two-loss.
A one-loss Pac-12 team Notre Dame's getting in over.
There's a two-loss.
I don't think I don't think one loss Georgia's getting it over.
It'll be two.
Because they haven't looked that good. Well, especially because Georgia probably wouldn't end up with one. They'd probably be picking up the second.
But you know what? This all could get topsy-turvy this week, though. Like, Michigan loses to Penn State.
Which I went in last week thinking that was going to be a huge game, and then Penn State played like shit against
Iowa. Well, McSorley got hurt, to be fair. But they still won.
Still going
to
be hurt, brah. Yeah, no, Michigan's a lot better than Iowa.
Yeah.
And like part of the ongoing thing about this year's Penn State team is how much worse their offense has been without Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And you just can't play Michigan and hope to score any points if you don't have like top notch offense. Plus, like Don Brown, apparently the defensive coordinator of Michigan, has spent every last waking second of the last year preparing for this game because Penn State was the only offense that really shredded him last year.
Oh.
And I don't want Don Brown spending a year preparing for me.
You want to move on to the big game of the week? Circle back to Penn State, Michigan. But Alabama LSU. Alabama minus 14.5. Over under 53. Take pound
like,
it over.
Seriously, like we're calling LSU the, and I know it's the first week of the playoff rankings and it absolutely does not matter at all. Mm-hmm. But like, we're seriously supposed to pretend that LSU is the number three team in the country when they're not even within single digits in a Vegas line of Alabama. Well,
then how else can the media push that game being a big deal?
I mean, you know, Joel Klatt, you know, the Joel Klatt in you is coming out.
It's a conspiracy, but it's what you do. Because this is all about money. Don't forget, then, the college football playoff is all about money. There's no integrity here. Anybody who falls for they're just looking for a true champion is full of bullshit.
Well, I mean, they've never been looking for a true champion for 130 years.
This is because you know why? There's no true champion in college football. You just make that point.
There never has been. There never will be.
You can't have a measurable champion, and you really can't any kind of football, which is what makes it fun and mysterious. People just tend to forget that sometimes. There's only two major sports where we know a true champion, Dan. That's basketball, NBA basketball, and NHL hockey. That's it.
Because they have a long season and then a long playoff.
Yeah, best of seven, which the best team wins every literally 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, and baseball, you shouldn't even have a play.
Well, baseball, though,
then you would get the best.
The best team won the Red Sox, so worked out.
Good about that.
Good for Boston.
Baseball shouldn't have a playoff.
Baseball should just be
that. Like once the season is over, you take the best record in the NL and the best record in the AL, and then they just play a World Series.
And they play a game of pinball.
And then the World Series is the best of 16.
No, make the World Series Fortnite.
Yeah, make the World Series like double.
I'm sorry, there are only three sports where the best team wins it. That's third one's pro gaming.
I was gonna say NASCAR, but then they ruined NASCAR. NASCAR actually used to be the hardest one to win because you literally could not fuck up a single week.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter if you won a couple of races. You had to finish in, like, the top 10 every week or you weren't going to win. And then they changed that to be more like football. Because the fastest way to kill your sport is to change it to be more like football. Because only football can be like football.
Because football is stupid. Just like this line, give me Alabama all day. I think LSU gets blown out. Like I said earlier, I'm interested in how Tua plays.
I don't know how LSU's going to score any points on
that. That's my issue. And I think the offense is going to fuck up. Alabama's defense is going to be the reason they blow them out, not the reason they win necessarily.
I mean, everybody's talking about Joe Burrow this season. He's 13th in the SEC in efficiency.
He's worse 13th. Than Stidham. Maybe Stidham's like, below that. Yeah, I think this is I like the over, though. I love the over.
No!
52?
Yeah, LSU's too good to give. Yeah, I think this is going to be 38-0.
Ooh.
This is going to be an old-fashioned Nick Saban strangling.
We'll see. We shall see. But we both like Bama here to cover. I think that's that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Let's move on, Dan. And let's jump. You want to jump to Friday?
Let's do it.
Friday. Oh, nothing's really good. Pittsburgh, Virginia. Pittsburgh plus 7.5. Your boy, Virginia, who you called the worst team in the ACC.
I didn't. I called Virginia was going to be better.
Oh.
Cameron Kleiner, ACC expert, gave me credit. He called me Saturday. It's like, you're the only person I know who thought Virginia was any good.
So does Virginia cover on a Friday night?
Yeah. Yeah, Virginia's my boys. They're going to win the Coastal.
The ACC is so
Coastal
weird.
Coastal champions, yeah. Bronco Mendenhall.
My thing with the ACC this year is, like, if you don't feel confident in it, if it's not Clemson, just take the underdog. A lot of times it works out.
I'm saying when Virginia upsets Clemson, it's going to throw everything into chaos.
And that's what we're rooting for here. Because we are an agent of chaos.
Because Bronco Mendenhall is a combination of highly disciplined and also extremely dirty football teams. Yes. And when they play Clemson in the ACC championship, they will absolutely take out Trevor Lawrence's knees intentionally. And not give a single shit about it.
Let's jump to this one, Dan, speaking of Clemson. Clemson, minus 38.5 hosting Louisville. How far we've come with Louisville. Where this was two years ago, this was a huge game, right? And now, Clemson's a 40-point favorite.
And I'm taking Clemson.
Me too. Are you finally on the Clemson's pretty good train?
No, it's another one of those, I don't think there's any spread you can make big enough for me to take Louisville.
Yeah.
Like,
over-under is 59. I mean,
to watching the slow evolution of, maybe one day Jeff Brohm will be able to take over and keep this going to, maybe we can get Jeff Brohm in another year to, God, we got to call Jeff Brohm now. Like watching that,
and now it's like, would Jeff Brohm leave Purdue?
Like it went from, in a few years he'll prove himself worthy of Louisville to, oh God, you think he'll come, or do you think USC will poach him?
Yeah. Clemson gonna roll here. Next up, Nebraska at Ohio State. Nebraska plus 18, playing better against weaker competition, but Ohio State in some turmoil. What do we like?
I'm taking Nebraska here. Not that I think they're going to win, but their defense has been so pathetic. And Nebraska has been good at scoring points. Now, you can score a lot of
Martinez
points.
Martinez is a good little quarterback.
You know, but that, and the other thing about them is they're very good at, like, modern, nifty, like, fuck you college offense. Yeah. When I say that, it means, like, hey, we're going to run, like, a reverse zone read where the quarterback is the primary ball carrier, and the running back is the constraint. And it's like, there's no way Greg Schiano's going to know how to defend any of this. Greg Schiano can't defend, like, basic spread offense stuff.
Yeah, give me Nebraska.
There's no way he's going to defend.
Give me Nebraska as well. Next up.
Nebraska might score 50 on it. They'll give up 80, but, you know.
Next up, number 25, Texas A&M at Auburn. Auburn favored by 4. Auburn has to win this game. I think that's what it comes, because you're going to lose to Georgia and Alabama.
I don't know. You think they're definitely going to lose to Georgia?
Yeah. It's very hard for Auburn to win at Georgia. It doesn't happen. Last time it happened, we had Cam Newton.
I could see them upset.
Maybe. But like, this is the one, like, say, like, if we're going to Belk Bowl is the goal, got to win this to go to Belk. And Auburn minus 4, sure. Give me Auburn. Well, maybe they figured it out. And I don't think A&M's that good. I'd also see A&M
winning out Auburn. We're now hitting the part of the year where A&M starts to make everybody who believed in them look stupid.
Yeah.
Like, we're at that part of the year.
Well, and also, like, to not be favored in this game is kind of shocking. Auburn's been favored every single one of their games this year.
Vegas just doesn't trust Texas A&M, is the thing. Like, that's one of those games where, like, the pundits and the narrative people like Texas A&M because, oh, he's changed the culture. And, like, everybody in Vegas is like, this seems like the same damn Texas A&M team we've seen quite a few times.
Same thing, yeah. I'm going to take Auburn here. except must low key must win for Auburn. Next up, let's jump to this one. Syracuse at Wake. Syracuse 4.5-point favorite.
Private school battle.
Yeah.
Syracuse is going to put a lot of points up.
Yeah. Syracuse,
they're going to win. They're good, and they're also just Wake Forest's defense is horrendous, and Syracuse is not the kind of team I want to play if I've got a bad defense.
I agree. Next up, troops game, Air Force at Army. Army a 7-point favorite.
This could end up being the thing that determines who wins the Commander in Chief trophy because this year's Navy team doesn't look that good. So
give me Army. Knowing nothing about this is a game, if it wasn't at noon, I would watch it.
Also, have you checked out that stat everybody's been quoting today that Army has double the touchdowns of Buffalo?
Wow.
The Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills have 3 touchdown passes this year. Army has 6.
Wow.
Army, I will remind everybody, has been dead last in pass attempts in college football the last 3 years in a row. They attempted like 88 passes all last year.
Jeez. next up.
Almost as if Josh Allen's not a good quarterback.
Well, Josh Allen's been hurt,
almost like you should have kept Tyrod Taylor and let Peterman go.
Josh Allen hasn't played in like 3 weeks.
I mean, nobody forced them to keep the Peterman on.
Derek Anderson and the Peterman. Your boy, Derek Anderson. Former Panthers great, Derek Anderson.
The Peterman is starting this week.
Yeah, because Derek Anderson got a concussion. And Pryor's going to be their backup quarterback.
How many interceptions is the Peterman going to throw this
week? I don't know who they're playing, but like that's my must-watch NFL game.
Is that like the if your go-to, like you got to draft that, like you got to switch that as your fantasy defense?
Yeah, they're playing Buffalo.
Like, when you hear the Peterman is going to start, you're just like, oh, man, I got to get that fantasy defense.
Doing that and, like, whatever the spread is, give me that versus Buffalo. How about this one, Dan?
Will Buffalo score more touchdowns than their opponent will have defensive touchdowns? That's the big over-under in any Buffalo game.
How about next up, though? Let's talk this. West Virginia at Texas. Texas -2. Oh, what this game could have been. Both these teams didn't blow it.
Yeah. If West Virginia didn't have literally the worst game I've ever seen a team have a few weeks ago against Iowa State, and if Texas did not... I mean, we didn't talk about that. Did you see the ass of himself that Tom Herman made at the end
of the game? No, I didn't see much of that game, actually.
So, you remember a few years ago when Shiano was in the NFL... and his teams got in trouble because they dive at your knees during kneel plays, trying to disrupt the snap. A Texas player came around the end on a kneel down play and threw the offensive tackle on the ground after the play was whistled dead.
Mm.
And then, Oklahoma State guys came out on the field, and Mike Gundy ended up coming out on the field, like, hollering, "What the fuck are you guys doing? This is horseshit." And then Tom Herman came out on the field and started just screaming like a psycho. A lot of
that last week. Because, in Georgia, Florida, Mullen lost his shit, I think, right?
Or was it twice now this year for Mullen.
Was it our boy Todd Grantham?
Third and Todd.
I didn't see it. I would set Gundy off about Twitter.
Yeah, after the game, they asked him about social media for some reason, which is a really stupid question to ask a coach after he just had the biggest win of the season. Like, ask about the football game. And then Mike Gundy's answer, like, his opinion of social media was...
Yeah, and it went viral on social media. Wild.
The most viral coach in America.
Yeah. But who do we like here? West Virginia, Texas. Texas -2.
Fuck me. Give me Texas.
Do we have a winner?
I feel good about it.
Is this a tie? Is this game just perpetually stay in overtime for the rest of our lives?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, why is Tom Herman not working at Texas?
Because no one can work at Texas. That's the hard truth, Dan. You need to put down the old guard and realize that Texas is dead.
Why is his quarterback a slow white guy?
Texas, baby. Texas can't work because of the politics and the boosters. It's just too far gone. It's a lost cause.
Because, like, the best Tom Herman teams I can ever remember all had running quarterbacks.
Well, but maybe he's a quarterback went to the same high school as a booster or something weird, so he has to play him.
Maybe.
It's like, then, like, that sounds silly and, like, not something that would happen at most good programs. But that's Texas.
My boy! I need him to get a football scholarship.
Polly Joe Zane Watson.
So he can come back and be the senator. Everybody
that's not how people in Texas.
So that one day they can be a. I won't do an accent and I don't know where it's from.
I'm from North Carolina, but I love Texas football.
Well, Texas accent's more like this, isn't it?
Yeah,
Texas.
a little nerdier. Like Hank Hill. Propane. Well, Hank Hill, I think, was an A&M fan.
I'm pretty sure he was on. Well, I don't remember if they ever got involved.
He went
in
there. Well,
it would have been too
when
controversial.
Fox got the call when they get the Big 12 deal, all of a sudden Hank Hill is like watching Texas a lot more
because he felt more like a Cowboy.
He's a Cowboy. Well, he's also a Texans fan.
That's more universally like Texas
because like they won an All Texas Super Bowl.
All Texas Super Bowl.
Whoa. Speaking of the Super Bowl, this game's bigger than the Super Bowl to me, Dan. Georgia at Kentucky. Georgia, 9.5-point favorite. Lock it up. Give me Kentucky. They're going to fight in this game. I don't know if they're
good. They did just try to lose to Missouri.
Huh?
They did just try to lose to Missouri.
But they won. But maybe they were looking ahead to Georgia. Maybe they'll be double prepared.
Yeah. They spent 2 weeks preparing for Georgia.
They almost lost to Missouri in the process. But I mean, it's a big game for Kentucky. I want to see how Georgia handles the pressure. Again, they go to LSU and they lose in a big game. It's a big game. This is the biggest game in the history of Kentucky football in the last, what, 50 years?
Something
like
that. Like
Tim Couch played Peyton Manning or something weird. Like,
well, Tim Couch is the one who beat Alabama for the first time in, like, 60
years.
Yeah,
so this is probably the biggest game since then, right? But it's like the Tim Couch.
Didn't Kentucky start, like, 7-0 or 8-0, like, in 2005 or so?
Was that Lorenzen?
I feel like, no, like, they had a running quarterback.
Oh,
I think
Cobb.
That was during the... Yeah.
Randall Cobb.
Yeah,
the receiver for the Packers, though.
The guy who used to be the head coach at Oregon was the Kentucky coach. And now when you go on Twitter, all he ever does is tweet from casinos.
Yes, which is the...
Like, he's just always in Tunica.
Which is our dream.
Like, never any place, like, big time. It's always like, yeah, I'm calling you from the Casino Magic.
From the...
Beautiful Biloxi.
From the Golden Rock in Tunica Falls.
Yeah, I'm in that... What's that place? Branson. I'm in Branson. Does Branson have casinos?
Nah, I think Branson's like a Christian town.
That's right. It's all like theaters where people sing Proud to Be an American like
eight
times a day.
And then die on duck boat rides.
Is that real? What's a duck boat? Remind me of
that. It's like a boat that can drive or something, but one like killed like 8 people in this one family recently. So Branson was like, no more duck boats. Because it's incredibly dangerous from what I understand.
What's the Nashville thing?
I have no idea.
Like 9 people get on like a thing that looks like a bicycle, but
Savannah has those. I don't know what those are called, but yeah. Because people forget this, but Savannah is just a better Nashville and a cleaner New Orleans. So.
I don't think any of that's true. That's I feel like it's
Savannah
just
and
Charleston.
More
it's just
history.
Like,
been around longer.
I feel like it's just an uppity Charleston.
No, it's way less uppity than Charleston. Savannah's, like, very gay.
So is Charleston.
Is it? Is there an art school?
Yeah. Charleston's super queer.
There you go. Well, all southern towns are super queer at their hearts.
Charleston has an actual college in it.
Savannah has SCAD.
Charleston has the College of Charleston.
Well, I guess Savannah State isn't a real college to you, Dan, because it's all black. Wow.
Well, no, I mean, like, if you're going to find uppity rich white people, like, College of Charleston's literally just a college for uppity rich white people.
Yeah. And the Citadel.
Who are, who are rich enough to be gay.
How dare you forget the Citadel, the gayest of all the colonies. The fake.
They even let women in?
Yeah, they let that one gal in.
It was basically like Demi Moore.
Yeah.
And G.I. Jane.
You know, King of the Hill had a joke about that. So that was like in the 90s. When that pushy gal from the Citadel is trying to get in. But who do you like here, Dan? You like Georgia? Win by 10?
No.
Give me Kentucky. We're on Kentucky, baby. Let's do it. Let's jump here. Purdue, Iowa. This is on Bovada. Purdue favored by 3.
This is my lock of the week. Give me Iowa. Mm. Because here's why. Purdue does not have a lot of talent. But they have very good game planning. They have a very good offensive philosophy. They're very good at finding ways to get their offense a chance to play. However, that really only works when you're playing against very undisciplined defenses, which is why they ripped Ohio State's nuts off.
No.
Because Ohio State's is the most grab-ass, undisciplined defense in the country. Iowa, in contrast, does not have the talent of an Ohio State, but oh my God, they are disciplined. And I don't think a disciplined I don't think Purdue's shit works against discipline.
Yeah.
Because they just don't have any talent. And if you've got if you've got a disciplined, sound defense that just takes away big plays and forces Purdue to go up and down the field, they're not going to have as much success. Give me
Iowa. Iowa money line at 125. Interesting bet. Turn a dollar into two. Next up, Penn State at Michigan. Michigan a 10.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I'm taking Michigan. I think this is the week we finally say for sure that this Penn State team was overrated.
This is one of those when we learn a lot about Michigan, I think. Like, if Michigan comes out and blows out Penn State, it's like, okay, Michigan's a playoff team.
Yeah. This is a game, especially their defense has had circled all year, because last year Penn State really kind of embarrassed them.
Yeah.
Their defense. And I think they're just going to be... You're going to see a defense that's ready
and
to
maybe,
play.
Maybe in retrospect, they shouldn't have felt embarrassed because, I mean, Barkley's embarrassing pros right now.
Yeah.
He's really good. You know, no offense to Michigan, but you're probably not good enough to stop a guy as good as Barkley.
Yeah, no one is. But you're going to have a team... But you've got a defense that's all fired up to prove that last year was a fluke. And that it was just Barkley, and I haven't seen any evidence that Penn State's
going to win. Yeah, I think I agree. I think Penn State sucks. Give me Michigan all day. I think Michigan.
They're just a good, not elite type team.
Yeah. So I think we agree there. Let's move on. How about Florida hosting Missouri -6? That's intriguing.
Give me
isn't
Florida.
It? Like, Missouri's a good
like
bad
Missouri.
Team.
I just don't like this team at all.
They're a good bad team. In terms of, like, playing against the spread.
Yeah, I just don't... I don't think they're good enough to hang with this Florida team.
You know, I don't... I think Florida's going to rebound. Kick their ass.
I think Missouri's defense is too shitty to handle. Florida's just going to do things on the ground and, you know, diagramming up some play-action stuff that they're just not organized and good enough to deal with.
How about Utah -7 at Arizona State?
Yeah, give me Utah. Utah's marching on their way to a Pac-12 title.
Well, Utah's going to win the Pac-12. You can tell me about Washington State all you want. Utah's going to win. They probably should have beaten Washington in retrospect.
Anytime you look up preseason, you're like, man, I'm really not sure who's the best team in the Pac-12 this year. It's probably going to be Utah. Yeah. That's when Utah comes and gets you.
All right, let's move on. This game of annoying fans, Notre Dame at Northwestern. Notre Dame, 9.5-point favorite.
I don't find Northwestern fans to be that annoying because there's so few of them.
Northwestern,
if Northwestern was better, I think they would be a lot more annoying.
I think Northwestern, though, can beat the spread.
No, this is where they get exposed. They've been the luckiest team. Bill Connolly over at SB Nation has shown this has been the luckiest team in the country. They have just played like ass. In his S&P rankings, they're like 70th in the country. They play like ass and then just sort of lucked their way into some close game luck. You know, 2- and 3-point wins that really they shouldn't have even been in the game. And I think this is the week that Notre Dame just ends that whole
Notre Dame's kind of on a roll. What about
Here's a shocker.
Kind of shocking. What if I told you, Dan, that neither of these teams will be ranked in November, November? Stanford at Washington. But Washington, a 10-point favorite. The disappointment bowl, if you will.
Yeah, the biggest disappointment is you've got... When you think of a Chris Peterson offense, what's the number one thing that comes to your mind?
Cool offense stuff.
Well,
quarterback, motion.
I always think efficiency.
Okay.
Like, you always think of, like, his Boise State offenses. They never, like, oh, man, here's touchdown, 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 touchdown. It would always be, man, every single first down they get six yards, and then they set up, and then they get a third and short, and then they hit you with a cool play action in midfield, and then bang, 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 bang. You know, it's always like just let's keep marching down the field unstoppably. Almost like a pro offense does, where they keep mixing pass and run, but it's always just the absolute most efficient way of moving down the field. And then what's the number one thing you think about with Stanford?
Just 3 yards, cloud of dust, and let's punt, baby.
Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, right?
Yeah.
Stanford is one of the worst running teams in the country, and Washington is one of the most inefficient offenses in the country. For whatever reason, both these teams have just not, it's just not clicked for them on the offensive side of the ball this year. Stanford's had some injuries on the offensive line, so that's a little bit more understandable, but I don't know why Washington has been as shitty as they've been. It doesn't really make sense.
If you're a wide, like, huge disappointment for Washington this year.
I would say that Stanford, like, their record isn't as big a disappointment so much as how they've gotten it. Washington's a major.
Is Peterson on the hot seat in Washington yet?
No.
But does this not add some fire?
No.
This season?
No.
It's two disappointing years in a row.
No. He took Washington to a playoff for the first, like, he's literally single-handedly made Washington relevant for the first time in 25 years. Mm-hmm. Like, hell no.
Well, sometimes success can heat up the seat a little bit faster.
Not at places like Washington, okay. Which is why he's smart.
Where no one cares.
But yeah, it's like, no, like that. If he had been at Auburn, yeah, he'd be in the hot seat. If he was at Georgia, yeah, he'd be in the hot seat. If he was even at Miami, the fans would have him on the hot seat, and the administration would not.
Yeah.
But he's at Washington. They're just happy if they sell their seats.
How about, let's do this last game. California at Washington State. Washington State, 10.5-point favorite. Give me California.
Give me Cal.
Give me Cal. Cal,
yeah, give me Cal.
Cal might win this game.
Their defense is legitimate.
And they're
Cal has a legitimately very good defense.
Cal's back. How about that?
Well, I mean, if they're back to being as good as Cal can be, yeah. Well, think about probably their ceiling.
You know what helps recruiting, though? On Sunday, nationwide, really good game. Packers-Rams. Both those quarterbacks went to Cal.
Well, they're running a completely different offense.
Of course.
So I don't know.
But I think if you're a high school kid, though, you're a good quarterback in California, maybe you look at Cal over USC right now.
I don't think they're going to be attracting a lot of quarterbacks right now. They're going to be attracting, though, if you're the best defensive players on the West Coast, you're going to be looking at Cal.
Stanford ended up
and saying, yeah.
Quarterback, though.
Stanford's done a pretty good job of consistently recruiting NFL quarterbacks, though.
So is Cal now.
I mean, they've had two in 15 years.
Who's Stanford had in 15 years?
Andrew Luck. They put Kevin Hogan in the NFL. That's about it.
We're going to count that. And, like, I mean, who's the kid that, who's the bust for the Bears from Cal?
But it doesn't matter if, like, yeah, 20 years ago, under a different coach, we put Aaron Rodgers in. Like, the thing about Stanford is it's the same coaching staff that put Kevin Hogan in.
I'm saying maybe it helps the brand. That's all I'm saying.
I think what helps the brand more is watching them completely shut down the best offense in the conference people thought coming into the season. They're going to start recruiting very top-end defensive players to
Kevin. And with the way kids are so liberal now, maybe it'd be cool to go to Berkeley.
The problem with Berkeley, though, is that the football players get treated like garbage. Like, secretly, low-key, it's one of the most racist campuses on the country when it comes to the football players, because every professor treats you like garbage for being allowed onto their
school. Maybe you just need your one Kaepernick. Cal changes the whole thing.
It's funny how it's okay for all these like ostensibly very liberal professors to be super racist to a bunch of inner city black kids because they play football.
Who like this is their best chance of getting like a really fucking good education. And instead of like maybe, I don't know, helping out the community, you just treat them like shit because you're jealous that they probably could fuck your wife better. That's what it really comes down to, right? Like, they just know these guys could fuck their wives better.
They fuck.
Isn't that racism? That's for sure. Like, you know, like, in a shell, racism is really like, oh, this black guy's a bigger penis, more than likely, and he could probably fuck better than me.
I mean, yeah.
I feel like that's kind of the root of racism. It's like, they're going to fuck my wife or my daughter.
So I'm saying that maybe if we were all poly and free, we wouldn't have racism.
I mean, the hippies tried that, and then they turned into boomers, so...
Or they turned into Gen Xers, didn't they?
No, the hippies became boomers.
No,
the
hippies became yuppies.
No. Yeah, the yuppies were boomers.
Okay.
Well, the Gen Xers, there was that weird, like, hippie revival in the late 80s of, like, Gen Xers wanting to be like their parents.
Well, there was, like, a few... Fish. Like, was there, like, a movie? Like, some 90s hippie movies?
Yeah, like, people got obsessed with hippies, and, like, the Gen Xers got obsessed with being hippies.
Yeah. And I feel like millennials are just, like maybe we thought that was cool in high school, but it's just, like, nah. Okay. Like, we like the part where we do drugs and watch good music, but none of this other bullshit, really.
And then the old boomer hippies are like, man, we have way more sex than you. And it's like, yeah, but...
Yeah, but you know, like, raped
everybody. We watched porn.
Well, and, like, yeah, what's you had more sex, but it was, like, women passed out on opioids or something.
What's the Felix Biederman line? It's like, yeah, he's never, like, boomers will never stop bragging about how much boring missionary sex they had in a field somewhere.
I had more two-minute sex than anyone. that's it. That's the league in college football. So what are we looking forward to? What are we circling in?
Well, Penn State, Michigan. That's the one I'm searching on the hardest.
Not even the game. Like, what's something you want to see?
I just want to see. We're seeing a couple of teams in that top. You know, obviously Alabama, LSU. We're going to be seeing some teams in that top echelon. We're going to see what they got.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting close to like, hey, who's really got this?
Yeah, we're getting close to like, oh, this. It's coming up. I want
to
see how.
It's time to see what you got.
I want to see how two.
Show us what you got.
I want to see how Tua plays. That interests me the most. I think Alabama cruises, but I want to see if Tua does well against like a better defense. Yeah, I want to see how Kentucky plays. I want to see how they respond. Well, that's it for me, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be the week that we see the Pretenders exposed.
Yeah. So Notre Dame loses.
That'd be funny if they lost to Northwestern, because Northwestern is completely garbage. They just
but they're also like the other Chicago team, so like that's kind of funny.
Okay, I would say Northwestern is like fifth in the pecking order in the city of Chicago.
Well, who's two?
I would say it goes Notre Dame one, then Michigan, then Ohio State, then fourth I think would be Iowa,
but not with. Not with most of those people's bosses went to Northwestern.
Not normally, no. Oh. Most of Northwestern kids aren't actually from Illinois. Like, they come there because it's an education and they go back to wherever they came from.
Dan, Buffalo Bills, Chicago Bears. Bills are -10 right now.
God, I wish I could just go lay a bet right now.
Chicago Moneyline, -600.
Chicago's not
the greatest. But, like, Khalil Mack is going to, like, rape. I mean, not really, sorry. He's going to eat the Peterman.
The Peterman.
Like, Khalil Mack
is going to be devoured
tonight, or Sunday. Quick thing, Dan, this show hopefully be up by Thursday or Friday, but Thursday, one of the worst primetime games in the history of football. Oakland, San Francisco, literally the worst winning percentage for two teams ever in a primetime game.
God.
Out of, like, literally like almost 1,000 games.
How are they letting that happen?
It's Thursday. You can't flex it.
How could a just God allow this to happen?
Because San Fran was supposed to be okay, but then, you know, Garoppolo gets hurt. And Oakland, hurt. I don't know.
Oakland's just intentionally tanking for no reason because it's the NFL and tanking doesn't even make sense.
Tank for Vegas because they don't want to give any of the fans in Oakland any more enjoyment until, like, the Raiders move back in 50 years.
Well, if
are the Chargers normally, move there?
The Chargers moving to Oakland would be
funny. How funny would that? And then, like, the fan base just becoming, like, diehard Charger fans.
That would never happen.
They think just Oakland, play in front of an I empty think stadium. Oakland, if a team came back, they would embrace that team. Not even the Raiders, the would. Chargers.
Because I don't think that. I think the Bay Area is getting to become one of those places where they just don't care that much about sports anymore.
They love basketball.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not hard to love a team that wins that many games.
I think it's more become an area where there's no more money to have stadiums near people.
Well, because it's become politically unpopular to pay for that shit.
Yeah. As it should
be. It's like, hey, we need schools.
Yeah. And, you know, Oakland's like a pretty leftist area. Like, it's probably like one of the...
Yeah, it's more left... I mean, all the things people say about San Francisco are actually true in Oakland because they have actual working class people.
Yeah.
And not a bunch of, like, psychopaths who want to drink, like, virgin's blood to...
Well, who...
Make the wrinkles go away.
Well, I would do that. Anything else?
Elizabeth Bat... Yeah. I'm looking forward to, like, somebody starting up an app called, like, Bathory with an I instead of a Y, and it's where you just sign up to donate your blood to some billionaire. It'd be cool. Yeah.
Anything else, Dan?
I think that does it.
Watch Daredevil Season 3. I'm pretty good.
Nope. Won't do it.
I'm really good.
All that stuff's getting canceled.
But, yeah, because it's all going to move to the Disney platform. Daredevil, though, pretty good so far, we'll say. I mean, it's really it. Jessica Jones Season 1 were the only good Marvel Netflix shows. And it's still pretty good. Like, the fight scenes are cool. And the guy from Men in Black plays Kingpin's really good.
Are you seriously calling Vincent D'Onofrio the guy from Men in Black?
With Law and Order?
He's the fucking guy from fucking Full Metal Jacket.
Never seen Full Metal Jacket.
Everybody has seen the first half of Metal Jacket.
Is that where Napalm in the Morning comes from?
No, that's fucking Apocalypse.
Is that Good Morning Vietnam?
No, you asshole.
Is Full Metal Jacket the? Is that the movie that had the guy that was on the History Channel?
No. Oh yeah, Arlie Army. The
drill sergeant. Okay.
I didn't know they stacked shit that.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie. I have no interest. Shit. I don't like army stuff. Sorry.
The first half of it is really good.
I'm not a true cuck.
Once a certain thing happens, it's the first half of that movie is basically like the army is full of sociopaths.
Wait, Dan, Full Metal Jacket. Terrible. Wait, wait, wait. That's the one with Big Boss and Snake.
I hate you.
Full Metal Gear Solid. I've never seen that movie though. I will say. So to me, he's the guy from Law and Order and Men in Black.
I hate you so much.
That's what he is.
Why aren't you watching all the good dude movies? Dude, like, you know, Full Metal Jacket and Boondocks.
Because I was watching good dude movies like Men in Black and Wild Wild West and and Independence Day and Hancock. And
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And Hitch.
The one where his untalented son is in it for some reason.
Yeah, it's the most boring movie ever. The one where he's poor.
The one where he's the last man on Earth and the ending is absolute garbage.
But the book was better. That poor dog in that movie.
The fucking movie was better.
I would never watch that movie again because of the dog dying. It's one of the saddest dog deaths in movie history.
Damn dog dedication.
I don't like when animals die in movies. They can just cut that out and be a lot better. I don't I don't want to feel bad that an animal died while paying like $12 to watch.
Look, sorry. And haven't you not seen the ending credit thing? No animals were harmed in the production of this movie.
Movies are real to me. It's like I have dementia, so this is all.
you're truly the number one boomer on the halfhearted.com.
I am.
Stable of hosts.
Dan, as we look ahead, I didn't even look at the games for next week, so let me kill some time. How are we hyped for this will be after Halloween. We hyped for Halloween?
No, because I'm a grown up.
Lots of grown ups dress up. No.
Not in the middle of the week when you gotta go work.
Next week, Dan, we get such big matchups as Auburn, Georgia, which could be a noon game if Auburn loses. Clemson, Boston College, Kentucky, Tennessee.
Well, if NCAA 14 has told me anything, the Boston College Clemson game is a trophy game, so that's a major.
Yeah, big one. Gosh, next week's pretty bad.
Yeah, this season might just be a rough season. Where we just march to an inevitable conclusion.
Alabama mistake? Notre Dame FSU.
I mean, oh, God.
Auburn, Georgia might get prime time even if Auburn loses.
What if Willie Taggart beats Notre Dame?
You can never fire him.
I'm just saying, I think it would be fun as hell.
That would rule. I'm officially rooting for that. Also, Liberty at Virginia. That's my big game for next week.
I'm glad the Mormon hero of Virginia leads them into battle against the not even Christian Liberty.
Evangelist Pentecostal Fox. That's it for me. Nothing really in the NBA, right? Like nothing over there yet.
Nah, I mean, Cleveland is a fucking sad sack disaster.
How about your Hornets?
What have they done?
Oh, they just look.
Are they undefeated? I mean, it's too early for me to be paying attention to the
Kemba Walker. Looking good.
I don't trust him.
I can't. He's literally, I think, the best player in Hornets history, statistically. He's the only good player who's been with the Hornets for, like, over 4 years.
Alonzo Mourning, motherfucker.
He was voted Mourning. They did a fan poll of the top 10 Hornets players. Number one.
Mourning left. Of course he's not going to win a
popularity contest. Well, no, number one was Zoe. Two was Dell Curry. And three was Kimba.
That's bullshit. Not putting Larry Johnson number two. That's horseshit.
How Dell Curry being over Kimba is bullshit.
They're just doing that because he stayed in Charlotte and became an announcer.
I think he's just like a beloved figure. Much like the Hawks with Dominique Wilkins, except Dominique's...
No, Dominique is the best. He's the best. Atlanta Hawk.
The best Atlanta Hawk. I think Bob Pettit's the best Hawk ever.
I don't care about what people did in St. Louis.
Neither does the federal government. And on that note, let's get out of here. I got nothing against Australia this week, though. So how about that?
Yeah.
Step their treatment of indigenous people and refugees. I think Saudi Arabia's bad. Australia's doing stuff just as bad. So.
And on that note, we say, fuck Australia. Fuck the Queen, because she lets this go on. Fuck Ole Miss.
And fuck the Pinkertons.
Definitely fuck the Pinkertons. And play the music, Jason.